Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us. We are waiting on your touch.
Ever be praised to God. Father, for in every place, Father, incense and pure offering will be offered unto you. For there is no one who is like unto thee. Father, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You have been our help in ages past, O God. And Father, you are our hope for years to come. Tonight, Father, we say that, Father, you are Lord. And that is why tonight we build you a throne that, Father, you will come. And you will come and inhabit in the praises of your people. For any time we praise you, O God. For any time we lift you up, O God. We build a throne for you. Father, praise looks good on you, O God. So tonight, with the fruit of our lips, O God. And with a shout of praise. Father, with a shout of praise. 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 Oh, we say that you are Lord. Oh, we say that you are Lord. Oh, from the rising of the sun to its going down the same. We say you are Lord. 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 You are Lord. You are Lord. Oh. Come on, wave unto him. Wave unto him. Wave unto him. Wave unto him. Give him glory. Give him praise. Give a shout unto the Lord. Give him a shout. 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 Give the Lord a shout. Praise his name, somebody. Lift him up, somebody. Worship the Lord with the beauty of his holiness. Lift it up to him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, one day the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray." So the Bible says that God said that when you pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Tonight, as we come before his presence, we are not in a hurry to leave his presence. But what we want to do is to place him on the highest place. He is the reason why we have come here. The Bible says that if you can only praise me, if you can only praise me, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto him. So tonight we just want to hallow his name. We just want to bring down his presence. Holy, holy, Lord, you are worthy, and I'm honored to sing your praise. King of glory, Lord Almighty, hallowed be your name. Oh, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Sing holy, 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 Lord, you are worthy. Oh, and I'm honored to sing your praise. And I'm honored to sing your praise. Lift up your hands and worship him and say, King of glory.
King of glory.
Oh, mighty. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Oh, sing, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be. Oh, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be. Oh, your name. Hallowed be. Hallowed be your name. Oh, hallowed be your name. Oh, your name. Lord and majesty. Oh, divine authority. Hallowed be your name. Oh, sing, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Oh, your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Lord and majesty, divine authority.
Hallowed be your name.
I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh, oh Lord, for your name,
for
is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Oh, Lord, praises to your name. Oh, Lord, for your name is great, and greatly to be. For your name is great. Him is great and willing to be praised. Oh, for your name is great and willing to be praised. Father, we are thankful unto you, O God. We say you are welcome in this place. Father, you said if we don't praise you, you are able to raise stones to praise you. Tonight, Father, we have come before your presence. We pray for your mercy. Father, there is nothing we can do unless your spirit quickens us, O God. As for the flesh, it profiteth nothing. Tonight, I yield myself into your holy hands. I pray that, Father, let the flesh be crucified, O God, so that the spirit man, O God, will be revived and will bring forth. I give you praise and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. We can even close and go home, isn't it? It's good to praise the Lord. Well, I want to welcome you to our Turning Point service. Is it hot tonight or I'm the one feeling hot? It's very hot. All right. Okay, you can take off your tie if you want. You can also keep it on. Amen. So I want to welcome you to our Turning Point service tonight. And we thank God for making this day possible. Amen. The title of my message is God Has Already Provided. Amen. God has already provided. You know, one day I was traveling to a country that I needed a visa. So I went to the embassy, picked forms, and then I began to fill the forms up. Then they asked me, when was the last time you visited that country? So I had to consult my passport to see when was the last time. So as I picked up my passport and I was looking through it to see the last time I visited a country, I realized that I did not even need a visa. Wow. Because I had 5-year multiple. Wow. And I didn't know. So when I was contemplating on it, I believe that I got a revelation that there are so many things that God has given to us, but we are not aware of it. We do not know. If I call you on your phone and the call goes through, but where you are not able to get reception, it is not because I have not called. I have called. The problem is not about me, but the problem is you. Where you are situated, you cannot receive the signal. And I believe that God has given us rich and precious promises. But for some reason, we are not able to receive the call. We are not able to dial through what God wants us to achieve. Maybe because of where you are. Because where you are determines whether you will, you know, whether the call will come through or not. Your ability to get a reception depends on where you are positioned. Isn't it? So let's begin tonight with Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, I'm reading from verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Tonight I'll pray for a short time. Grace be to you, and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 3. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath done what? Who hath done what? Are you reading? Or you are looking at my face? Who hath done what? The Lord has blessed us. Is it past tense or present tense? It's past participle. So it means that it has already occurred, isn't it? How many of you are English students? No, Lady Pastor is a maths student, so I don't trust what she said. But how many of you are English students here? Harriet, aren't you English student? What did you say? It is still ongoing. So what is the name we give to ongoing past? It's what? Past participle. Okay. So it has already occurred. Isn't it? So that means that God is not going to, if she tells you anything about math, you can believe it. So God has already done it. What has he done? He has already blessed us. He has blessed us. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing. You see, this blessing, which is spiritual blessing, is an old English King James word. that the blessing that God has blessed us is not only spiritual blessing. You see, when you become born again, your spirit is blessed. You see, spiritual blessings, right? It goes through your born-again spirit, right? But salvation is not only being born again. Salvation is a combo. It's a package that comes with a lot of benefit. So the Hebrew word for salvation is sozo. That includes healing. It includes money in your pocket. It includes wisdom for life. It includes good health. It includes good relationships. It includes good house. It includes a nice car. It includes nice food. It includes everything. It's a combo. It's a package. And the Bible says that God has blessed us with spiritual blessing. It also includes peace of mind. Peace of mind. There are many people who don't have peace. When you go to bed, your pillow is your DK poison. You flip it over here, you flip it there, you keep tossing and turning. If the pillow can speak, hallelujah. It includes good job. It includes good pay. It also includes wisdom to manage what you have been given. Because there are some of you, if you lose your jobs for 2 months, you are down for. You are down for. But you have a lot of money come into your hands. But the wisdom to manage it is not there. You see, the Bible says that by wisdom a house is built. Not by money. It is wisdom that one builds. So, if somebody is building, it is not because he has a lot of money. But he is using wisdom. And the Bible says that by understanding, the rooms are finished. So, if you have understanding, you know where to put things. So that when somebody comes to your house, you will know that, look, you know the combination. You see, somebody can dress very nicely. But, you see, the combination, you see, things are not adding up. But what he is, wearing is powerful. You see, if you don't have understanding, you wouldn't know that this tie doesn't go with this shirt. Because the shirt is check. It is too busy. So if you also add a tie like what my brother is wearing to this shirt, it won't bring out the tie nice. It won't work. So you must have, understanding, right? To be, to know how to combine, certain things. You may be, wearing something very powerful, but the understanding is not there, so you are not combining it well. It is not because you don't have money. You have cash. And it is evidenced by what you are wearing. But the understanding to combine it is, it's not there. So you may have good job, but you may not be able to buy or build a house. So you need wisdom. Hallelujah. Which comes from where? Which comes from the word of God. I have seen people who earn little, but they've been able to achieve much. And I've seen people who have built, college education on their head. You see, they have pompadours, they have cornrows, they have, the pompadour is the one you tie here, right? They have rasta, they have all sorts of heads. They have wigs, they have pony, they have everything, but they can't go to school. Because they are always crying. They are always crying. They don't have money. And they say, oh, I wish I have papers. I will go to school for free. Listen, America, there is nothing. There is nothing free. And I don't know where they got that mentality from. There is nothing free. There isn't. Sometimes you get something for free and you find out that it is not free. Or sometimes you thought that, oh, it would be free. But after that, it is not. So I hear people telling me, you can go to school for free. So then I ask myself, so why didn't I go to school for free? If it is that easy to go to school for free, why did I not go to school for free? But you will find out that, you see, if you have wisdom, you can navigate through, you know, this life. And the Bible says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Hallelujah. God has blessed us right here on earth. He has also blessed us up there in heaven. Hallelujah. So you and I, once we belong to God, we are not puppets. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We are not puppets at all. So you have to know what God has given you so that you will know how to pray. Hallelujah. Because if I give you this, I've given it to you, right? Okay, I've given it to you. Let's say you come and you ask me for the same thing that I have given it to you. What do you think I will say? I mean, I'll be so surprised as to what to say, because I have given this to you. So if you come and ask me, I don't know what else to say. You see, and the Bible says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So what I have already given to you, you don't need to come and ask me about what I have given you. But what you need to know is to say that, oh, thank you, I receive it. And you don't come and ask me for something that I have given to you. You don't ask me. God says that I have given you good health. So if you go to the hospital and then the doctor says you have 3 years to live, what do you have to say? Do you go to God? How will your prayer be? How will your prayer be? How will your prayer be? Will you begin to tell people that, hey, Dr. Nisi, I have only 3 years to live. And you begin to arrange yourself to die. Let me tell you, I read something that Yonggi Cho said. He said he met somebody, a neurosurgeon. And the neurosurgeon told him that, you see, our brains receives the word of God that we speak. So when you speak, it affects your brain. And then your brain also transmits whatever you say to your nerves. So if you say that, oh, I cannot do it, then it goes through your brain, and then your brain passes it through your nerves. So you see that, you know, you have become to, you know, paralyzed. You know, you have, you know, received, you know, spasm. Is that, you know, the word? Uh-huh. You realize that the moment you entertain that thought, it sends signal to every nerve. So then you can't function anymore. When you are afraid or you are anxious about something, it paralyzes you, isn't it? Uh-huh. So when I read that, I said, this is a new finding. But it is not. It is not a new finding at all. It is in the Bible. James chapter 3, it says that our lips or the mouth is like a rudder, something very small, but it controls the whole body. So what you say, it affects your brains, that sends signals to your nerves, and you realize that you become paralyzed. If I'm talking with lady pastor, amen, then I see you coming, and then I stop. Your brain can send you a message that because I'm talking about you, that is why. So, you see, it will paralyze your nerves. Your whole nerves will paralyze, and that may affect you. Hallelujah. But it does not negate the fact that you have been blessed. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have been, but your attitude towards the blessing of God, you are in an area where you cannot receive the signal. The call has dropped. And the person on the other side is saying, hello, 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 hello. His line is still live. But where you are, you know, positioned and situated, there is no reception. And that's it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have to know how to lay hold on the promises of God. And I realize that most of the prayers that we pray like paupers and beggars. But the Bible says that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Does not the Bible say that with long life has he satisfied us? And you will see the salvation of the Lord. So if God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, how come that our prayers are not answered? Have you prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and your prayers are not answered? Have you prayed and prayed? It may be that where you are not receiving signal. It may be so. Hallelujah. So I'll give you only 2 points. Just 2. I've told you tonight, we won't preach for long. 2 points. And if you can lay hold on those 2 points, you are fine. So how come that we don't receive answers to our prayers? Number one, we are in a place that we cannot receive signals. Where you are when I call, you cannot receive the signal. So sometimes when somebody calls, you say, I'm in a bad area. And as we begin to talk, you see that the line is breaking up. You are not getting the signal. The blessing is not coming to you. Hallelujah. The place that you cannot receive the signal is an atmosphere, because a place is an atmosphere. It's an atmosphere of unbelief. An atmosphere of unbelief may be people you hang out with. Are they faith people? Do they talk faith? The church that you go to, is it a faith church? Do they preach about faith? Do they encourage people? Do they tell the people that it is well? It is well. Even though the vision tarries, wait for it. It shall surely come to pass. You have to be in an atmosphere where you can receive signals. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. Mark chapter 8 verse 22. Let's look at something there. There's an interesting story in Mark 8 verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, underline Bethsaida. Or if you have an iPad, you can highlight it. And he cometh to Bethsaida. Does Bethsaida ring a bell? It rings a bell, right? Okay. And they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. Jesus went to Bethsaida and he met a certain blind person in Bethsaida. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. So Jesus was in Bethsaida and then he saw the blind man. The blind man wants to be healed, but Jesus took him from that place. He led him out of Bethsaida and said, sit here. Don't sit in Bethsaida. Is it a good place? Here he will not get healing. God took him and led him. He led him from the atmosphere of unbelief. He led him from the atmosphere of unbelief. Because you see, over there in Bethsaida, Jesus cursed Bethsaida for their unbelief. He cursed it. He cursed Bethsaida for their unbelief. He says, woe to you, Bethsaida. Woe to you, Chorazin. If the miracles that had been done in Tyre and Sidon happened here in Bethsaida, you would have seen something. But because of where you are situated, you could not be saved. So Jesus said that before you can get your healing, I need to lead you out of town. Out of town. I need to lead you out of town. That is why the people you work with are important. because they can speak doubt. You say, oh, every church is a church. No. Look at the way your cheeks have pumped up. You could also be in another place. Your cheek will get loose. You know what I'm saying? It will go inside. It will shrink. So, before the guy could be healed, oh, also for you, we can go. No, don't go back to Bethsaida. Bethsaida, it will be very tough for you to be healed. But you can go back to Bethsaida. Put your hands together for your mega pastor. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that he led him out of town. He led me out of the atmosphere of unbelief. He led him out of the place. And when he had spit on his eyes, look at it. If you have eye problem, and somebody says that I'm going to heal you, it has to get worse before it will get good. You know, he spit and then made some concoction with sand. I mean, listen. Yes, you see, if he was in Bethsaida, Jesus could not have done what he did. He could not have healed him with saliva. He could not, that was how he led him out. It says that here, there will be a lot of doubt. You will not receive the healing. So for me to be able to heal you, I need to take you out and then take you to the place where you will hear and then accept it. Hallelujah. So he made saliva with the whatever. And then he said, hey, then he put the concoction in his eyes. You know, it could not have been possible in Bethsaida, where the people are doubters. They are doubters. Who is this man of God who heals with saliva and then sand? And then he uses it to put into your eye. So you see, he put his hand upon him and then he asked him if he saw aught. Jesus has never done that before. He has never touched somebody and has asked the person, do you see? Because all his healing, quickly, instantly, boom. But he asked him, do you see aught? Well, because that spirit of Bethsaida was still in him. It was still in him. So he had to overcome that. So he asked him, do you see? Let's go. He says, he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Jesus went to Lazarus' tomb. He said, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus came. He took the loaves and the fish. He said, Father, I thank you that you hear me. He blessed 5,000 people. But this guy, the first healing, the syndrome of Bethsaida was still in him. So it took some time. So Jesus was working on his doubt first. So many times we pray, but we do not believe in what we pray about. We don't believe. As we are praying, it's just a formality. Even by the way we pray, Father, I need a shoe. If the Lord says that I have given you everything that pertains to life and godliness, you take it and you thank him for the shoe. Lord, I thank you and I bless you that you supply all my needs. When God says that by his stripes you receive your healing, you may still have the symptoms. But it doesn't mean that you are not healed. You may still have the symptoms. So if you are going by your feeling, you will not receive healing. But once it has been incubated in you, women get pregnant for 9 months before they push it out. Is that not the case? The first day that they get pregnant, You will never see it. But it does not mean that they are not pregnant. Right? You would never know, but it is incubated. It is in there. That is why the Bible says, though the vision tarries, wait for it. So you will see the person and you say, hey, what happened? I've been pregnant for 5 months. But the seed was there a long time ago. It is because you didn't know. So we incubate the faith inside us. The Bible says that as long as the heavens remain, Genesis 8:22, seed time. Seed time. Harvest. When you plant a seed, you need time. And then harvest will come. But as the seed is planted, rather than using the time to confess and claim the rich and precious promises, you use the time to rather cancel the seed that has already been sown. So when the time comes for you to harvest your seed, there is nothing to harvest. There is nothing to harvest. Time is important. The Bible says that God does everything in his time. The Bible says that don't trust in your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. And then he will do what? He will direct your path. So the time that you need to hold on to the promises of God, you have used your mouth. That is the same as a rudder of a ship. You have set fire into your own life to destroy. It is not every calamity that comes your way. That is as a result of your grandmother who is 105 and has not died. No. We have cursed ourselves by the things we say. We don't speak faith. We don't. We speak curses. We look at the giant in front of us. Meanwhile, the Bible says that who art thou, O mountain? Mountain is a problem. Who art thou, O mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you become a plain. When David met Goliath, indeed Goliath, he fits this description that it's in the Bible. When you see Goliath, the things that have been said about him was true. When David came and he saw Goliath, he did not see him as a small man. He saw him as a giant. But look, so many times we magnify our problems rather than magnify the God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can even think and ask. So even when Saul saw David, Saul said that Goliath had been a man of war throughout his entire life. But you see, we don't go by feelings. We don't go by sight. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We don't walk by what the doctors say. We don't walk by what the economy dictates to us. We walk by what the Bible says. That is our banner, that is our stronghold. So David said that, you know what? I know he's a big man. He has been fighting wars ever since he was born. It's okay. But my God, in him will I trust, has helped me in every way. There are times that when I'm watching over the sheep, a lion will come. For a human being to kill a lion with bare hands, it's supernatural. Yeah. It is supernatural. So he said that my God, who has helped me in time past, that same God can help me to overcome this giant. Hallelujah. But we are quickly overcome. That is what our problem is. We lose faith easily. When we hit a small hitch, then our faith evaporates. It just goes away. It just goes away. But you see, maybe you don't know that, you see, the small hindrance is to test your faith. It's to test your faith. Not all of us will be like this blind person in Bethsaida, whom Jesus will lead out of Bethsaida before he can get his healing. But some of us, we have to stay in Bethsaida but still believe. And when he was led out of Bethsaida, God told him, don't go back to the city. Don't. Because you can lose your blessing again. Do not go back. There are places when you go back, you will lose your blessing. Listen, look for a good church. And I'm telling you, we are not perfect, but God is still working on us. You know what I'm saying? But at least, where you are situated, your environment, your atmosphere can help you to get a signal when God calls. So make sure that you are not in a place when God calls you. You cannot hear. Listen, there are places that don't believe that God is able to bless us. And there are places that don't believe that it is God's intention for the people of God to be blessed. Even though we are not carrying these blessings to heaven, we need to enjoy them now. Isn't it? We need to. Yeah. We need to enjoy them now. If you have any nice clothes to wear, wear it here. Because as you can see, you are soon becoming in a beer bottle. So wear it now. You are growing. Your hair is finishing. And you are saying that in future. Where is the future? Where is the future? There is no future anywhere. Oh, one day by and by, when I go to Ghana, how long have you stayed here? How long have you been here? When are you going? Ever since you said you are going, you haven't gone. And you are still here. Hallelujah. So why don't we get answers to our prayers? What is it? Asandi, what is it? Because of where we are. We are in a place of unbelief. Bethsaida is the same place as Nazareth. Jesus could not do any miracles in Nazareth. He could not. He could not. When he came to his own town, he could not, except some few headaches here and there. Meanwhile, he is the King of Kings. He can speak and the whole world will come together. He can look at somebody who is 90 years. Listen, if you do living, you can identify with what I'm saying. When you go to work, look at your client's face who is 90 years old. And look at this lady who is about to, roll the thing for somebody, a baby, to feed. And see, even if it's, possible. It is not possible. Right? But the Bible says that when God came to Abraham and told him that today I've changed your name, you are not Abraham. Your name is the father of many nations. Listen, if you could hear Sarah calling Abraham, hey, father of many nations, father of many nations, people around him will think that Sarah is mad. How can you call a barren man father of many nations? But it was not because of my word. It was because of God's word. And the Bible says that he believed against all odds. It was not possible. But he believed it. He challenged God that this thing, humanly speaking, it's not possible. But since you have said it, I can take it to the bank since you have said it. And the Bible says that at the appointed time, God visited them. Why? Because they held on to God's promises. So I believe that their prayer life changed. Isn't it? They were no more praying for God. Can you give me a child? They were praising him and thanking him for the child that he has already given. Hallelujah. We must change the way we pray. Those of you who are looking for husbands, change the way you pray. Behold your husband in the spirit. And claim him. No, pull him from wherever he's going. Just pull him back. You know, visualize him. I said, visualize him. Draw him, draw his head. The type of head you want, the type of stomach you want, the type of height you want, the type of job you want. Draw him, you know, visualize him and pull him by the horn. Just pull him. That's what you got to do. Isn't it? There are so many men in the world. Which one is God giving to you? Because he may give you something that you don't like. So tell him what you like. Draw him and visualize him. So that when he comes, you will become like Adam. Yeah, this is the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. Otherwise, say, hey, Eddie. Because, hey, God, this one, dear. Mempire no wanting ye. Wanting ye. They said there was this girl who had been communicating with this guy in Germany. Have you heard that story before? You have not. They have been communicating, they have been sending pictures. Pictures, they are very deceptive. Hey! If I send you my picture, you will know that I'm very tall. But you may be having ideas. And your dream man is 6'5". Meanwhile, I will never send you a full picture. You will always see half. Always you will see half. Never will you see a full picture of me. Have you seen a full picture of me before? You just said you will see passport size photograph, but not the whole body. Unless, of course, you come to church. I've told you, you just check whether you see a full picture of me. Never. It does not exist anywhere. So this girl was communicating with a man. And then the man wrote to her, I'm coming down. The girl was full of expectation. The plane landed. People were coming out of the plane with bags. Hey, with bags. Then the girl would say, hey. Is that him? And then the guy will come and pass. Say, ah. Then as she was waiting, she saw Boga. Boga coming. Hey, his face is like darkness. Boga was coming. I said, Boga was coming. Hey, with his bag. And was coming. Then the girl said, hey, could it be that it is him? Hey, when the guy arrived at the place and opened his mouth, hey, like a Dracula, his teeth. The girl said, no. As for this one, dear, I will let it pass. Hey, hear me, dear, but as for this one, dear. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Number two, our attitude. It stands in the way. Our attitudes. Sometimes the pastor is preaching powerfully. The power is flowing. And then the people who are supposed to receive, they are saying in their head, whether it's a good expression, that listen, This is not the first time we have heard this thing before. We have heard it. What is different? Sometimes even when you say, praise the Lord, I mean, their mind is very far away. Listen, they are not expecting. They have not come with expectation. If they have also come, their focus is on the man of God. Their focus is not on Jesus. God is only using an instrument. So you should not be so fascinated about the instrument that God is using. You should rather focus on Jesus. Because God can use anything, even a donkey, to talk to him. God can use a donkey if he has to use a donkey. So don't be fixated on the instrument. But when you come, focus on God. Our attitude. Listen, recently I was talking to my friend. You see, the Bible, it describes everything. This, my friend, he has mucho problems. Mucho. Mucho. And it surprises me that every single, I've known him for over 10 years. Every single thing that I have told him concerning his life, it has come to pass. It's because, you see, if you have been around for some time, pastoring churches here and there, history repeats itself. There is nothing new. So sometimes you will see 1+1, right? Well, what is it? Math student. Yeah, this one, she's a math student. 1+1 is what? Math student. It's 2. Some catch up. Math student. But you see, it's the same problem that we cycle all the time. So every single thing, I told him, you know, there are certain things that I don't want to say. But everything that I told him, it came to pass. Including the fact that I told him that your wife, she will just run away. You will see. And it happened. Yeah, because you see, you just look at things and then you are able to know that when you put 1+1 together. He called me recently and I told him, come to church. Do you know what he told me? He said, I want a pastor who sees. I said, you see, you are like Pharaoh. You are like Pharaoh. At first, they sent you, Moses, just to come and talk to you coolly. You did not listen. You saw frogs. It was supernatural. You won't suddenly get up and see frogs all over the place. You saw darkness. You saw locusts. Still, until your firstborns began to die. Then you just, you know, jammed up. And even that, he was chasing them to the Red Sea. So you see, there are some people you can't help them. I say you have 2 problems. You see, either you will force me and then make me into somebody that I am not. But also your other problem is familiarity. We sat down to study for bar exams. He was my mate. We were studying. So you will not. I said, Jesus went to his own town. So I said that if you will be truthful to yourself, everything that I have said to you, it has happened. Has it not happened? It has happened. He said, yeah. But I want someone. I said, what? How will you know? Because if somebody tells you something and you don't know the word of God, you will say, it's deep. Your reactions will be 2. And you should be very careful how you say, otherwise you know, something will happen. That's true. Yeah, you just try and try to bend down to take something. Then, you know, you get up again. If you are not careful, you will disgrace yourself. You have to be very careful. So, it is deep. Do you know why you say it is deep? You don't understand. You don't. That is why you say it is deep. Anything that you understand, you won't say it is deep. Isn't it? Yeah. If it is clear, the word of God is supposed to be clear. But if they put some things you know, they mix some things that you don't understand. They quote some, you know, scripture from, you know, Leviticus 26, verse 3. And then they add it. They say, look at, you know, cross, you know, reference in Habakkuk. And then check Zephaniah. And then ask for the lamentations. They were just lamenting. You say, even the way you make your face, he is deep. You don't understand. You don't. I said, if you understand your word, right, and then they preach, go to churches who listen to messages. It is sweet when you preach to them. Very sweet. But those who don't listen to messages, as you preach, they size you up. Yeah, you can tell. But when they are full of the messages and they are soaking it in, oh, they help you to preach. It is so nice. It is very nice. They help you to preach because they understand what you are saying. But if they don't, they will argue and argue and argue and argue and argue and argue and argue. They will just argue with you. So those people, you leave them. You leave them to God. Perchance, he will save some. You leave them. But our attitude stand in the way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our attitude stands in the way. One of the laws of faith is that you will have what you see. That is the law of faith. You will have what you see. Proverbs 18, 21. Proverbs 18, 21. That is the law of faith. The law of faith states that you will have what you say. You will have what you say. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. No, I think you went too far. Start from 20. There is a treasure here that I want you to see. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of your mouth. What you put in your mouth, if it is sweet, your belly will be satisfied. If you put poison in your mouth, in the night you can't sleep. Will you sleep? The reason why you are not able to sleep is what went into your mouth, what you ate. So when your stomach begins to ache, you ask the first question you ask, what did I eat? Isn't it? That's the first question. What did I eat? So what you ate did not satisfy your mouth. It was not pleasant to your mouth. Are you understanding what I'm saying? A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth and with the increase of his lips. Increase of his lips. That means that the more you open your mouth and then you just absorb. Some of you don't know that you are full. In fact, you can't tell when you are full. Unless, of course, the food is finished. But the Bible says that with the increase of his lips, he shall be filled. So that means that for your stomach to be filled, your mouth must be very active. Isn't it? Look at children who have become fear like one. You try to feed them, open your mouth. They will not open. The food that goes in, and you see, they are always lean because the fruit of their lips does not satisfy the stomach. So whatever comes out of your mouth or whatever goes inside your mouth can also affect your human being. That's why we should be very careful what we eat. You see people, they are huge. They say, oh, you know, I don't eat. It is no food. I was born with it. I don't eat. Okay, all right. 21. Let's look at 21. Anybody who is growing lean, it is also as a result of lack of food. Maybe his mind is screwed, so he is depressed, and it has affected his or her appetite. But even then, she doesn't have the ability to open her mouth and eat, or his mouth to eat. So it has affected the body. So the mouth and food is very important. So the Bible says that death and life, you see, the same mouth, though, that can satisfy the stomach. That same mouth also has the ability to cut short your life. So the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Isn't it? Isn't it? Hello? I'm saying something very powerful. Isn't it? Jesus confirmed the same scripture in Matthew 21. Turn with me to Matthew 21, verse 18 to 22. He confirmed the same scripture. You see, the Bible is just cut and paste. Cross references. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on these henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall have not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. The disciples were perplexed when they saw that the words of Jesus had taken effect. And Jesus said, you shouldn't be amazed. He spoke by faith. He spoke the laws of faith. And the law of faith is you will have whatsoever you say. Whatsoever you say, you shall have it. Whatsoever you say, you shall have it. Whatsoever you say, you shall have it. A new car, you say, you will have it. A new house, you say, you will have it. A new shirt, you say, you shall have it. Whatsoever you say, you shall have it. And he said that, look, don't be amazed that when I said to the fig tree, may nobody eat fruit from you. Don't be amazed. But you too, you can do the same thing. If you will only say it. But what do you say? You don't say positive things. You don't say anything. You don't. When you apply for jobs, you look through and then say, oh, $12.99. Ah, where the Messiah? Where the Messiah? But you will have what you say. You see, the moment you say that I cannot do it, what happens? The brain sends the messages to the nerves and then you are paralyzed. But you will have whatsoever. That is the law of faith. So our attitude does not generate faith. Listen, in this world, all that you need is an opportunity. When you have an opportunity to do something, when somebody trusts you and says that, I know you can do it, and gives you the opportunity, you can do everything. You can do it. Yeah. You can do it. They talked about a lady who is a medical doctor who had never gone to school before in Kenya. Wow. But she performs powerful surgery by observation. Wow. Is there something called fistula? You know, fistula? Yes. She assisted, you know, these white people who came from abroad to do their surgery. Yeah. Fixing, no, whatever. Okay, you know me. It's not common in my ministry. The lady, when the white people left, she was the one doing it. She had never gone to school before. Observation. And her head was screwed on well. You will get amnesia right now. You will say, no. Yeah, in fact, I pray in the hospital. I'm used to that one. But the rest, go and look for this white man, then, you know, give it to them. But you will have whatever you see. Let's look at Mark 11. 11, 12. Are you understand what I'm saying? Mark 11, 12. Mark 11. And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. I think it's the same, you know, the same scripture. But let's jump to number 20. It's very hard, I tell you. Number 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. 23. For verily, I say unto you. Yeah, let's look at 21 first, and I'll show you something about curses. You see, have you heard people cursing other people before? And it has come to pass. This is the scripture that talks about it. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Verse 22. Jesus answered and said unto him, have faith in God. 23. For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. That is why people curse other people, and then it comes to pass. Because they don't doubt it. Oh, yeah, they don't doubt it. You stay there. How can unbelievers curse Christians and then the Christians will die? Because you want to see Philly. But they are going with Matthew 11, verse 7, since the time of John the Baptist. And they even know that scripture, you don't know. Well, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, what things soever ye desire. Asofo, what do you desire? Do you still drive your Maxima? There is a new one. Do you know? You receive it. Uh-huh. You may think that... No, let me keep going. Hallelujah. What soever things you desire. Joyce, what do you desire? What do you desire? A lot of things. You see, people like that, God will bypass them. God has come to you. What do you need? A lot of things. A lot of things. Solomon was very specific. Very specific. Hit it. A lot of things. What is a lot of things? There are certain things that you need. Oh, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. That is also one of our problems that we don't receive from the Lord. Because when the Lord comes to you, you have a lot of things. We don't know what we want. You see, do you know blind Bartimaeus? Jesus asked him, what do you want? I believe he needed his papers. He needed money. He needed to see, but he was specific. He said, Lord, I want to see. Let me see first. When I see, then I can have a woman. Because you need to see to know that he is fine. Bash. He said, a lot of things. He needed a woman, but he needed to see first. Isn't it? Yeah. Look at the Muslims. They have covered all their faces. So it is left with their eyes. But the guys can see that inside those two eyes is a heavy, lady, behind the whole thing. But at least he needed to see first. Hallelujah. It's very, very, very important. So you need to be also very specific. And the Bible says that whatsoever ye desire, whatsoever ye desire. Hallelujah. When he pray, be specific and claim it. Kneel it down. Kneel it down. Hey, I say, nail it down. Oh my God. I said, do it. We had a testimony in church one day. And we called, one sister got married. So we said, come and say hi to the church. Pastor, it was a long time coming. But finally, I have nailed it down. Hey! Shek! Hey! Pastor, it was a long time coming. But finally, I have nailed it down. Adi chapter 2, verse 5. Finally, I have nailed it down. Hey! She had a hammer and a nail. Whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe. So, if you want healing, believe that you will have it. Believe it. Believe that you have it. And ye shall have it. I said, believe and ye shall have it. Hallelujah. Final scripture is in Mark chapter 5. Mark 5. And let's go to 28. But we will rewind. Go to 24. Okay. Jesus was on his way to go and heal someone. And along the way, he was accosted by a desperate woman. Hallelujah. One thing I have learned in my life is that anytime we come to God, we think that God is sizing us before he will answer our prayers. When you think you are good, right? When you think you are good, when you come to God, you come with some confidence. But when you think that you have some weakness, it be what the tech. And then God sees that, oh Lord, come, you just come. Because he knows us. But those who know that they are good, they come with confidence. So when they come to God, you see, they size up God and they say that, because I have not been holy, because I have not lived right, because I have not prayed, because I have not fasted, when I pray to God, God will not hear me. Does it happen to you? Yeah. It happens to you, right? That is called religious spirit. But those who think they are good, they come boldly with confidence. But the Bible says that there is no one who is righteous. You cannot lay claim on your righteousness for God to do something for you. It is just by faith and by grace. Hallelujah. So sometimes when we come to God, we are burdened with guilt. And because of that, we cannot boldly come to the throne of grace. But let me tell you something. God does not answer your prayer because you are a righteous person. I'm telling you, he does not. That because you are a righteous person, and then sometimes we shy away from him because we say that, oh, I've done this. Oh, I didn't do my quiet time. Oh, I didn't pray. I didn't do that. No. There was a lady in the Bible. They call her the woman with the issue of blood. Was she born again? There is something called loss, right? When you are a believer and you cross the street and you see an 18-wheeler coming, and then you cross, shepo, sapra, tete, libro, sinde, kerebe, supra. What is going to happen to you? What is going to happen to you? As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so has the... You, in fact, you will die. Whether you are a believer or a non-believer, you will die. Do you know that unbelievers, they get, you know, certain things from God quickly than believers? Because they know that they are not right. So they come with mercy. But we stay behind because of quiet time that we did not do. And the prayer meeting that we did not attend. So we think that when we pray, God will not hear us. But that is wrong. Because he knows you. And he still wants you to come. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if you stay away, you are not going to get anything. And your righteousness can never please him. You cannot please him with your righteousness. So you stay away because you haven't done your quiet time. You haven't prayed. You were asleep on the prayer line. So you stay away. That is a mistake. You know the story of the woman with the issue of blood. So we won't read it, but I'll tell you the story. Right? This woman, first of all, she was desperate. The Bible does not say that she was born again, nothing. It says that she was desperate. And then she heard Jesus coming. Right? The Bible says that she touched the hem. What does it mean? It means that the tip. So think about it. There were so many people. So many crowds. Throngs of people. And for somebody to touch the hem, it means that the person at the point was crawling. Right? Crawling. If you had seen her, you would say that she was crazy. You and her, who is crazy? You. Because I believe that there were so many people who needed help. But they didn't come to Jesus because they felt that they had offended God somewhere. They felt that, they didn't attend the prayer meeting. They felt that they slept on the prayer line. Or it was their turn to lead the prayer, but they forgot. And then. So they will not come. But they needed God's help. And I believe that so many times, we don't come boldly to God and ask because we are burdened with guilt. Because of our problems, we are burdened with. But listen, God knows what you are going to do even tomorrow, and he has taken care of it. But you must boldly, just come boldly. Listen, if people had seen the lady and had known her condition, they would have killed her. Yeah, they would have killed her. Because she was not supposed to mix up with people. They would have killed her. They would have said, what are you doing? You are contaminating the men. You are contaminating the women. You are contaminating everybody. Even Jesus, you are not afraid. You are contaminating him too. They would have said that you are crazy. And they would have sorted her out. But you should see the woman on the floor trying to manage. Manage. Why? Because Mark 5:28, it says that. Bring it up so that we can read it. 5:28. When she had heard of Jesus. No, go to 27, please. 27 first. When she had heard of Jesus. When she had done what? She didn't say that, let me go and confess my sins and get some cleansing and come. When she was not born again. She was not born again. She just came. She heard and came and pressed behind and touched his garment. And then she put the law of faith into motion. For she said, for what?
For she said.
That is the law of faith. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. She put the law into motion. That is why the Bible says that you will have whatsoever you say. You will have it. She put the law into motion. So when she put the law into motion, Jesus said, somebody had touched me. You see, in law, there is something we call assault and privilege touch. Somebody cannot sue you for privilege touch. You are in the subway full of people. And then you just, you know, show that somebody. The lady, they every day in the subway, they quarrel. Hey, why are you touching? Why are you pushing me? Look at the crowd.
It's a privilege touch.
There is no assault. You cannot prove it. They say it's a privilege touch. Do you understand what I mean? So when Jesus asked that question, it was irritating to the ears of the disciples. So they said, how can you ask such a question? Look at the people who are pushing and pressing. But Jesus said that I feel the touch of desperation. Jesus did not turn and say, are you born again? Are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? Do you speak in tongues? That is why people who appear to be very spiritual, you see that they don't progress because of religious spirit. They think that they are good, but God always passes them by and then has mercy on the one who is contrite in spirit. So this woman, God said that somebody had touched me. Many people touched him. Many people touched the Lord. But they didn't say, those who touched the Lord, it was a privileged touch. But this woman, according to Mark 5:28, he said, for if I can only touch. So crawling, weaving her way through, she had only one thing in mind. If I can only reach out. And then touch, not the whole body, just the hem. That's it. That's all that I need to. And she will have whatever you say. That's all that God expects. When we come to God, we must behave like children. We must just behave like children. And we will have whatsoever. My son, he can. In fact, of late, he has been surprising me, I tell you. Every night when I come home, he cracks me up. And he has a way of asking his questions. The other time I came home, he sat down with me, we're talking. Do you consider yourself to be a businessman? I said, hey, where is this coming from? I said, no. He said, well, listen to my business proposals. With my mother, I can easily convince her. But you are a little shaky. Hey, with you are a little shaky because of the way you ask your questions. And then he started talking. Hey! The other time, he was asking me to give him some cash for something. And I said, look, it's too expensive. But he didn't know how much it cost. So I told him that, look, by the time you finish with me, I would have spent easily 600, easily. That is the minimum. He says, 600? 600? That is cheap for a lawyer. That is too cheap for a lawyer. 600 is cheap for a lawyer. Let's close our eyes. And sometimes he gets what he wants. Let's rise up. Close your eyes. Tell the Lord, Father, increase my faith. Increase my faith. I realize that I don't have faith. I even realize that I have a religious spirit that opposes me in so many ways. Sometimes I think I am no good, so I don't come to you. Sometimes because of our failures, we run away from him. And sometimes we are overconfident because of one or two achievements. But God pushes against the proud, but has mercy on the lonely. Lift up your voice and pray. Jesus, you can never do anything with your own strength. You can't say that you are too good and I've done right. So Lord, here I am. Bless me. It is just by faith, brother. Lift up your voice. Tell the Lord, Father, I don't have faith. Where I am, where I dwell, Lord, anytime I am about to get a breakthrough, the signal drops and I'm not able to log on. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Ramason de Caria. Shelelelelelelelelelele.
We don't want blessings. We want you. Open up the sky.
We hope you have been blessed immensely by this message. Join us at 1734 Williamsbridge Road in the Bronx on Sunday afternoons and Tuesday evenings. For copies of this and other messages, contact us via email at lci.bronx@gmail.com.